Did you make sure you have peaks over there? You got peaks on the your Audacity file there?
Oh, I don't know. Do I got to set something out on my Audacity?
Just want to make sure you got peaks.
Peaks? Like
from
peaks
the
and valleys?
Class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do. We do. We got them. Peaks and valleys, baby.
I know this isn't really part of the show, but, you know, a little peek behind the break the fourth wall down. I learned yesterday you can hit Control M while you're recording in Audacity.
Yeah.
And put little notes in there.
Yeah, you sent the video. Watch
it's rad, dude.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's so cool because that'll help a lot with other stuff. But anyway.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Anyway.
Back to you, James.
Thank you. Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers Podcast, episode 179. We are recording Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. I'm your host, James Halliday, and today I'm joined by...
First host job ever.
Yeah, the ever. I'm joined by the amazing, the incomparable Nugtats, also known as John Swanson.
Hi. Thanks for the fantastic introduction.
I know. Well, I try. How are you doing? Oh, you're being interrupted by a child. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm
doing all right, man. I'm excited to record with you and actually have some giggles and maybe brighten my day a bit. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to it.
There you go. I'll spin right into the lowdown here. If you want to be part of the conversation or if you have a pressing question that you want to weigh in on, you can reach us on Twitter at MN Gamers Podcast. If you don't use Twitter, you can send an email the old-fashioned way to podcast@mostlynormalgamers.com. That's the website. Go check it out. Sign up for our newsletters, the Mostly Normal Monthly, at mngamers.substack.com. Back issues can also be found there, so check it out. You can leave a voicemail or you can text, which I've used multiple times, at 507.
And that person that gets sick all the time, don't forget that person
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you can also use it to call in sick to work. Might
yeah,
not
it
help.
Doesn't work.
might
but
not help
I will,
your...
I will reply and say, I hope you start feeling better soon.
But the number is 507-291-2991. That is 507-291-2991. Just add it as a contact in your phone and just message us weekly. You can also check out the VOD, which we're streaming right now, but you can check out the VOD at Mostly Normal Gamers YouTube channel and watch us live on twitch.tv/mostlynormalgamers. That's an info block, hey?
Yeah, it's really gotten to be quite the mouthful over the last, like, 5 years. Maybe I should edit it down a little bit.
Oh, man. Video games.
This will be a good VOD, too, because I just hit the start recording, like, 30 seconds ago, so.
Oh, what?
All over it today.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I'd be a horrible producer in real life.
Okay, well, if you've just tuned in because you're watching on YouTube, I'm James. I'm hosting the show today. I've taken the bull by the horns, and I'm joined with John. And if you don't know the spiel, go watch last month, or what, last week.
Yeah, exactly. All the other 178 episodes.
John, what have you been playing?
A lot of random stuff, man. I still can't seem to really get into anything, so I've been playing... I was playing Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi for a little bit, and I'm still kind of, like, going back to it.
Okay.
I'll play it for a little bit, and then maybe beat a level, or just die a lot. I think sometimes, man, we forget, and probably not you, because you still play a lot of retro games, but, like, those games are hard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can understand, like, we talk about a comparison between Dark Souls games and how it's kind of, like, revolutionized, and I've heard people harken back to, like, no, this is just how games were, and I've kind of forgotten that, like, games were legit difficult back in the day, like, all the time. There was no difficulty settings, like, you just had to grind it out, and so it's hard, man. So I'll play it for a little bit and then get frustrated and then give up for a little while and then come back later.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just got a message from somebody on Discord saying that, John's kid is trying to persuade him to give him ice cream while he's busy streaming.
Yeah.
Doing a podcast. Yep. Somebody in Discord just messaged me saying that your audio on stream is not coming through, and there's an audio double on me. So, for of you listening, there's some technical difficulties on the streaming part here. So I don't know if you can fix that, John, but
yeah.
But yeah, sorry. Continue your story about hard retro video games that
yeah, stress you out. That was about it, like, with that. Yeah. It's just I would like to get back to it's fun to do that from time to time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything on the horizon that you're looking forward to?
Not particularly. Like, I guess we'll Sea of Stars. I just started that, but I haven't played a lot of it yet, you know? So I only played like 30 minutes, and I heard it takes at least an hour to get into it.
Yeah.
So
I too have been playing Sea of Stars. As I am a proud backer of the game. I did get into it a little bit. I have not gotten very far. I've just gotten past like the rough like tutorial area, and I think I've started the game, or at least like I'm still in like the first, like I beat the first like the tutorial boss, and it's fun. Like the music is so good, and I think that's the biggest thing for me right now is the music. Did you play The Messenger at all?
Yeah, I love that game, as I do with majority of 2D platformers.
The Messenger's music is so friggin' good. And then, of course, it's got great writing, great platforming. It's got, like, this Ninja Gaiden-esque feel, but then, like, as you start to read the writing, you realize it's a lot more making fun of, like, just video games. Like, that era of, like, 16-bit video games. And but it's at the same time being a love letter to them. And Sea of Stars is exactly that so far, but for the sort of like Chrono Trigger style RPG. And it's pretty good. And you were playing Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga on your analog.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this has got a lot of similarities. Oh, really? Well, have you done any of the combat?
Just a very little bit. Like I said, I just got to the area where they're gonna train, like their friend's eye just got poked out.
Gotcha. Whatever. Yeah. So in Mario and Luigi, those games, you've got like those actions where you attack the enemy, but then you, as soon as the attack lands, you want to hit the attack button again to do some bonus damage. Oh my god, the message came through Discord saying now I am quadrupled. Oh, your audio is good, but I am quadrupled. Man, that's
your
too
audio's
much of me.
Good.
Yeah, you are good, but they're hearing for me. I'm like Goro's arms over here.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's and he can't chat because apparently it's set to. You have to be a subscriber for a month or a follower for a month.
Interesting.
But, yeah, just. I know. Technical difficulties galore. But yes, yeah, so right? Like Mario Superstar Saga, Sea of Stars, you have to like, you're interacting during your turns and the enemy's turns. You push the action button to do some bonus damage at the moment of the hit, or you can use the action button to reduce the damage you take when the enemy is about to hit you. And then there's some like special moves that I've noticed already. Like, and again, maybe an hour in, and like there's like certain attacks that like it's almost like the Legend of Zelda Phantom Ganon fights where you hit the energy blast back and forth and you play tennis with each other. There's some things like that, so it's really a stimulating RPG, so you're not like sitting there going I hit attack and I wait for my turn. So it's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into more of it, man, to be honest with you. Because it seems like I'll I'll get into it. And yeah, we were playing Superstar Saga. I still haven't finished it yet.
Oh,
and,
man.
I know. And then what else? I feel like there's something else, but maybe I'll think of it.
Was it you or was it Chris that posted in the Slack that there was a remake of it on the 3DS? Or the DS?
Oh, I did.
You did?
Yeah, because I looked something up because I just kind of want to finish it at this point. So I look stuff up if I don't know right away, like if there's an enemy. That's what I text you about, the sniper bills or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, those things suck, man. I don't want to do anything with those things. And but I still haven't finished it. So anyway, I looked one up and yeah, it was on the remade on the 3DS, man.
That's crazy.
I was surprised that seemed like it was in your wheelhouse. It definitely looked cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to say I wish I would have played that one, but it looked good.
I would have played it had I known, because I really liked the original Superstar Saga. I haven't played any of the sequels, but I imagine they're all in the same vein and quite good as well. I've heard that there's one where it takes place inside of Bowser, or I think that's like a mini game that's like Bowser's inside story or something like that.
Interesting.
But yeah. So outside of Sea of Stars, old retro games, you've got your the Analog NX set up.
Oh yeah, Analog
Super Nintendo. NT.
It's pretty rad, dude. I will say I'm a bit disappointed that it is micro USB.
Oh.
And then it doesn't have Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, so I had to buy like an adapter for my 8-bit controller to work.
Oh, so that was kind of
annoying. Yeah.
See, yeah, it feels like that should have been just I don't know. Like, does the Analog Pocket doesn't it have Bluetooth capabilities?
Yeah, and it's USB-C.
Because plug it into the dock. And I play Super Nintendo games on it. And I use my 8-bit though. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. It's. Oh, hey, look at that. I just looked over and we got audio on our stream going on. You're messing around in the back end, aren't you?
Yes, trying to.
Sorry. I'll talk
for a bit. No, it's not your fault, man. It's my fault for not knowing what I'm doing. This is how
unfortunately. I'm sorry for throwing you at it while we're streaming. It's kind of no what worries, I meant. I've been playing Sea of Stars as well, but I have not gotten very far because I am trying to finish Final Fantasy 16 for the life of me. And let me tell you, that game's got some benign fucking side quests that just like make me want to rip my hair out sometimes. So I want to do everything in the game because I just can't go to the, like, I'm at this spot where it's like push the go here and enter the last zone, and so I don't want to do that until I've cleared out all of my side quest information. And so I'm going around doing all these side quests, and I've been pretty diligent with it throughout the game, so it shouldn't have, like, up until now, I've done all the side quests, and then, like, I did, like, this last fight, and now it's like, oh, dumps, like, 15 new side quests on you, and these can take up to 20 minutes at a time, right? Like, and it's just, a lot of it is cutscene, talk to a person, find out your mission, go somewhere else. Short cutscene, usually collect something or fight some monsters, go talk to somebody else. Teleport to another spot on the map, talk to somebody else, and once you finish it, they go, I should probably go tell so and so, and like, that's fine, whatever. But one time it was like literally that person was with me talking to me, and they're like, I'm going back to my inn or my bar or whatever, and she left, and I go, well, I better go report to her. And it's like, what are we doing here? I'm just so frustrated, man. Like, I just want to beat this game.
I played the demo.
Yeah.
And I liked it, man, but it was the cutscenes and, like, it. I feel like I would enjoy it, but I've talked to enough people that were like, there's so many cutscenes where I'm like, maybe I wouldn't.
So the beginning starts off so strong and like it's so good up until like the midpoint, and then it just kind of drags, and I can't really explain. It just feels like they, I think somebody on Twitter described it as, it feels like the people that designed the main quest and the people who designed all the side quests were completely different parties and did not communicate to each other at all. And so just they just dump side quests on you. Like, the very end of the game, you unlock, like, the last little, like, country in the, on the map. And you do maybe, you do one mission there, like, as the main quest. And then it's end boss time, right? And so they just populate with, like, 30 different, like, not 30, but there's so many different things that you have to now complete there before you do the end boss. Whereas throughout the game, you're doing that with all of the other countries, like, just piece by piece, right? So it just feels like they just slammed everything in, like, all this filler stuff at the very end of the game. It's almost like post-game stuff, right? And they're like,
yeah,
go do all this stuff before you beat the last boss.
And are you feel like you have to do it?
I could just go do it, but I'm an idiot and I have
Angie and Chris talked a little bit about this last week, but they were talking about how sometimes like you play a game and you just feel compelled to do all of it because you lose momentum when you stop.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's a good call because you like I with Zelda like. I finished Zelda, and then I still played it for a while after I beat Ganondorf. But
yeah,
that's definitely happened to me numerous times with other games. So
oh, for sure. And it's like you're like, I beat this. Why am I even doing this? Like,
yeah.
It's all the extra. Yeah. It's funny because like some of these side quests lead to really rewarding cutscenes, like emotional character development cutscenes, and a lot of them are just like, they don't. And they just kind of end, and you're like, well, that's great, but why did I have to do this? Like, what did this really benefit the gamer for? Like, why did I have to go to this field, pick 3 flowers, fight some random monsters that you fight all the time, and then return to this character? Like, it just feels so asinine sometimes. And I think what drives me nuts, too, is it does the thing where it's like, here, let's go to this location, short cutscene, and then walk up a path. You can't go backwards, you have to go forwards. Walk up this path maybe like 15 steps, and then another cutscene, you collect the item, and then the quest is over. It's like, why did we even have that walk at all? Why don't you just make that a cutscene?
Yeah, I did notice that. I noticed that even in the demo.
Yeah.
There was a part where you like walked a little bit afterwards, and I was like, another cutscene. What was this all about? Why did this happen?
But besides,
but
do
you feel like that and like the final boss, like you have to do this in order to be competent enough for the final boss, or are you already there?
No, I've got the best weapon, which I don't feel like is a best weapon. Like, I don't know. In this game, like the weapons incrementally get better in such small values that it feels like nothing has changed at all, and a lot of the enemies scale. So it's like I'm fighting goblins and I'm still having to spend like my ultimate attacks, like my big like icon power moves, they'll wipe them out no problem, but my regular attacks, it still takes like 10 hits sometimes to kill like the simplest enemy. So it's like, I don't know, I don't feel like I'm stronger, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I went back to the weakest sword, I would very much realize the difference, but it's just the way everything progresses is so small that it just kind of feels, I don't know, doesn't feel as satisfying as when you get that new powerful weapon and you just like crush it for a little bit.
Yeah. I hear you.
Even
the like Dark Souls games have that level of satisfaction in them sometimes.
Yeah. Like even like, well, it's like Dark Souls, the numbers seem so much, like, they matter so much more. Well, I need to know what's 6 feet wide.
Oh, how can you hear him? Oh,
I can't.
That means my audio is coming out of my camera or something, which is not awesome. But whatever.
Something 6 feet wide, and I'm interested now.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I have also been playing some Baldur's Gate 3, and this has been like the... I'm beating Final Fantasy 16 so I can get to Baldur's Gate 3, because I just want to play more and more of this game. I'm about almost done the first act of the game, and as far as like D&D system games go, this is right up my alley. I know I talk at length about how much I love like the old Fallout games. Baldur's Gate 3 to me is the... Ooh, you're showing off a lot of your information here. On stream.
I know, it's nothing I'm worried about, but I'm just trying to take care of the... Go ahead. Oh.
And
sorry.
John's...
Now I'm not.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Baldur's Gate 3 is the Fallout 2 that I was... Or Fallout 3 that I was... I've been wanting for years. Because it's... It basically, it's a turn-based system using D&D. Rich, in-depth, like, talking to characters. Everybody's super horny. And you're basically just trying to get to the city, Baldur's Gate, and accomplish some sort of mission. The main priority is to get a Mind Flayer, which is like an octopus creature. They planted a seed inside your head, and their little larva is growing, and it's giving you powerful powers, but it's also slowly turning you into a Mind Flayer, so you want to get that, suck that sucker out.
Taken care of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the original thingy, trailer when it came out.
That's the whole intro.
Yeah, it's cool.
So good. It's
I remember it looked cool.
So it's great. I'm loving it. Have you ever played like D&D or any sort of tabletop or RPG?
No, I played like a very tiny bit of Gloomhaven.
Okay,
but I just like, as much as I want to get into those games, for some reason I just can't.
Yeah, it's that's fair. It is a turn-based system, but there's so much to it that I'm really loving. It's taken me a bit at first. It was really daunting, but as soon as I've started to realize you can just shove enemies as an action. And so, I've just been lining up enemies on, walls or something like that and just shoving them off walls. Or there's, a fight that you can have up on the rafters in this goblin hideout. And, goblins just climb up and I'm shoving them off the rafters to the ground below. And I ended up, coming into this area where, I ran into an evil adventurer party like my own. And I landed in an area where I was in a small room and they were all in the big main chamber. But that big main chamber had a bunch of, oil barrels in them. So I just used my caster to shoot a fireball in there and explode the whole lot of them. And I did, they were all, equivalent to me, but I took them all out in one go except for their barbarian who ran into the small room with us. And
very nice.
At that point, it's just, four against one. And it's, it's not a situation where... We're stuck in there with him. He's stuck in there with us. And
we just
did the Rick and Morty beatdown on him. And
nice.
it was great. I've been having so much fun. The dialogue options are hilarious. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that that happens with the game, and I'm really enjoying all the nuances that Larian has put into it. And I've heard from a buddy of mine that this is pretty much what Divinity Original Sin and Divinity, Divinity 1 and 2, were like. They had this level of interactivity with the combat and stuff like that. So there's a lot of environmental stuff that's going on. And I've just been having a blast.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, man. I wish I had more of a perspective, but when it comes to CRPGs, it's just not really in my wheelhouse, so... I've tried playing Divinity Original Sin 1 or 2, I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
And I was just this is cool, but I can't do it.
Can't do it. Yes. Well, you know what? It's to some extent, CRPGs are not really my wheelhouse. I need them to be turn-based. I cannot, there's a whole vein of like the original Baldur's Gate games, they use a system where it's all live action kind of thing, but you push space bar and it stops everything, and then you can select what all your characters are going to do. So you can like micromanage that way, and then you hit spacebar, and immediately an enemy does something that just changes everything, so you have to stop the action again. And I just cannot, like, I get so lost in that sort of stuff. There's always like just so much stuff happening on the screen. It's not like it's turn-based where I can stop, assess, okay, this is what has happened, now what's my choices. It's not like that, and it just drives me nuts, and I cannot get into it. Which is why I've never been able to finish, what is it? It was Obsidian's game when they came back, from being Black Isle, Pillars of Eternity. And that game is like, the writing is so good. And I've started that game multiple times and I just can't get very far because of the combat, which is too bad, but
yeah.
Missing out on
I'm the same way with all those things. I just can't. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're not a huge fan of RPGs. Not a huge fan of CRPGs is probably goes hand in hand.
I'm trying, man. Trying with Sea of Stars and stuff. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's more of a. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about. Sorry to backtrack.
No, but, do it.
We're burning alive at this point as is. So, it reminds me of CrossCode. Did you ever play that game?
I didn't. I know of it. I remember reading reviews, but...
It was... I think that's a game you might like, too. I've tried it and stopped it numerous times because it's really fun, and it's an RPG, but it's more of an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But Sea of Stars reminds me of it a lot, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you want... Something else. I like I said, I think you would like it, but it's like 60 to 80 hours.
Holy like a JRPG. Cow.
I don't have that kind of time anymore, man.
That's so funny. Yeah, like who has time to play that much that much video games ever?
Yeah. I wish.
Oh man. I wanted to say there's something about Sea of Stars that happened. What happened recently? I reposted something on Sea of Stars has Sabotage Studios threaded posted. I don't know what the hell. It's on Threads. I'm sure it's on Twitter too.
I can't keep up anymore. I'm honestly thinking about just deleting all of it.
Oh, what? You're pulling a Chris.
I am kind of, and he was maybe like a trendsetter in that regard because like I can't keep up with all this stuff. And like,
I know.
I don't know. It's exhausting.
I'm pulling my hair out. But anyway, Sabotage Studios posted on social media that 100,000 copies sold on day one for Sea of Stars. Which is just fantastic. For an indie game.
Yeah.
They like just an indie retro RPG. Like things that just typically do not sell. Even like RPGs in general are not like typically top sellers because a lot of people just can't get into them. Because
they're fucking boring. Sorry, just kidding.
No, just it's kidding. All good. Sea of Stars sold 100,000 copies, which is just amazing.
That's
and
awesome.
Like the reviews are just praising so much. I think the only negative reviews I've seen, I've mentioned like the combat kind of gets like near the end of the game a little bit. Not tedious necessarily, but yeah, samey. And I mean, it's only 30 hours long, I think, so it's not like we're going to be invested in this game for 80 hours like a typical RPG would make you believe. And then the other negative review was like just some of the translations, because the studio is a French studio. Some of their English translations are a little like just tiny bit off, and I have run into one, but it only took me a second or two to be like, oh, this is what they're saying, got it, moving on. It's not a big deal, but yeah, pretty fucking cool. Sea of Stars, can't wait to play more. We should I can't wait to hear more about how you feel about that game the more you play it, because if you're loving Mario and Luigi, this is gonna jive with you. And I mean, like, I'm only what, like maybe 20 minutes a lot further in the game than you. But I'm already loving it. I backed it and got the soundtrack for it.
Oh, nice.
And I'm I'm so looking forward to sitting down and just listening to that soundtrack, because so far I have thoroughly enjoyed that music, and I talked about it earlier, but I'm talking about it now. That music fucking slaps.
Yeah. I believe you. If it's anything like The Messenger, I haven't paid much attention to it yet, but
just turn up that volume and listen to it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and it's on Game Pass too, man. So like
Game Pass and PlayStation Premium, if you got that.
Oh,
premium.
Is it on both? Yeah. But I can play it on my cell phone with my thingy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What's it called?
Backbone.
Yeah.
You can play it with your backbone.
It's nice.
But since I mentioned PlayStation Premium, do you want to do a real cool segue into the news? Sony is raising PlayStation Plus prices. Huzzah! This comes from...
Oh, that didn't take long.
This comes from Emma Roth at The Verge. Essentially, the Essential plan is going up from $60 to $80. The Extra plan is going from $100 to $135, and the Premium plan is going up from $120 to $160. This is yearly prices, not monthly, so don't be freaking out there, friends. The new pricing is going in effect September 6th, which is about 1 week.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, right? What? This is, dude, this is
how did they decide to do this already?
I don't know. Like,
I think Microsoft is upping theirs, right? And it's like a dollar or two per month.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the premium plan comes out to about $13 and change a month. $13 and change. Which is, when you really put it into perspective, if you're playing video games this much, isn't really going to break the bank. But it is kind of like, it seems like a huge jump, $40. I think the biggest jump is at the lower price range, like the Essential plan going from 60 to 80 feels like a much bigger jump than the 120 to 160.
Yeah. And they do have good games on there, though.
They do.
The free games they give away are pretty clutch.
I mean, like, once a month, I pretty much just go into... I open up the app on my phone, and I just select a bunch of games to add to my... what I own. And then I play maybe one or two of them. But having the option is nice. I know Chris is burnt out. He was mentioning last week. He was super burnt out from Game Pass. Having too many game options, and it just sends him into a state of lethargy and just can't deal with it. Which,
dude,
I get it.
Decision
right?
paralysis, man. Yeah. Like, I do the same thing with Netflix. I'm sure I've talked about it before. Or Disney Plus. Like,
oh, for sure.
I just scroll through things.
Then you end up watching or playing something you've already played before.
Or just going to sleep.
Yes. Well, number two on our news item, Mario Wonder Direct is happening tomorrow. So, August 31st at 7 a.m.
Set.
Nintendo has announced a 15-minute Direct that will be live-streamed by the time this podcast comes out. If you're watching it live, cool. You caught us before it. But you're probably listening to us after the fact, so therefore, you already know what happened in that 15-minute Direct. But I just wanted to talk about it real quick, because this is the first game that has a new Mario voice since Charles Martinet as stepping down. So, this is the first... I think this is the first real Mario voice since Mario
Forever.
Had a voice in video games, right? Because Charles Martinet started in Mario 64. And I think... I was asking my stream last night. Like, I don't think there was Mario voices in games beforehand.
Yeah.
And so, he's really
been... I don't
know if
you can do it.
Yeah. Well, I think, I thought maybe, like, there was, like, a MIDI file of Mario saying, like, let's a go or something like that in...
Oh, I see what you're saying,
like
an introduction
Super
of
Mario
Paint or something like that.
But, like, yeah, I think as far as, like, Mario voice goes, this is a big change. And, like, obviously it's going to sound like Mario. It's going to be it's just going to be a different voice actor who's imitating the Charles Martinet voice, right? But... It's pretty wild. I don't know. It's It's a end of an era.
Dude, imagine just being the voice of, and it seems like they take good care of him at Nintendo, man. Like,
oh, for sure, because he's not retired. He's like an ambassador, and he's traveling around with Nintendo, doing shows and stuff like that, and
dude,
meeting
he's
with
almost
the fans.
Like a God, why can't I think of his name? Who's the creator of Mario and Zelda?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yeah. He's not on that level, but I feel like they almost treat him like as such. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, he's
crazy.
He's the voice of their mascot, right? Like, it's it's huge. So obviously this one comes out tomorrow, so let us know what your thoughts were on the Mario Direct. Tell us on social media what your favorite power-up related to the Direct is, because we're gonna see some power-ups. And John, what do you want to see from a 2D Mario game going forward? I think you said you're not a huge fan of the 2D games, right?
Did I say that? Because I don't know. Spot on if I did.
I'm pretty sure you've said it in the past that you're not a huge fan of, you prefer the 3D Mario games if you're going to play a game.
And
so,
I keep proving it to myself over and over again, because my son and I just played, we started to play whatever one was remade for the Switch.
Oh,
that came out on the Wii U.
Yes.
Super Mario's Wii U Deluxe
World.
Whatever.
Super Mario Land, sure. Sorry. 3D Mario Land or World. Fuck, some of these names are terrible. It's like Xbox is trying to name Mario games
or something. Anyway, and we played it for like 5 minutes, and I was like,
oh, the 2D
don't
one.
Like this game. Yes.
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 Super Mario. Yeah.
Wii U Deluxe, right?
Wii U
something
Deluxe.
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
I know the one you're talking about now.
Yeah. But we played that, and I was like, he's like, I don't like this, and I was like, I don't either. So we stopped. I'll probably watch it, because I'm a gamer, so I like watching that stuff anyway. But I don't have any skin in the game, if you know what I mean.
No skin in the game. I don't know. Is there anything that pulled you out of the game that you just like, no, this is what's, because for me specifically in those games, the new Super Mario Bros. Series, which was like originally released on the, I believe it was the DS, it was the first one, and then they just continued and they never stopped with the 2D, that 2D style. I felt the gravity, like the physics gravity of that game, was too slidey and floaty. I didn't like it. And then two, they're like, hey, guess what? Play with your friends. And they added in, like, you can play multiplayer at the same time, but you could interact with each other in ways that drove me fucking crazy. And one was, guess what? If you jump on your buddy's head while he's in the air, he goes shooting downwards.
He goes down.
And you go up. And so you get killed by your friends just trying to play the game. And then it just becomes this, essentially a Mario Party game where you're all just trying to kill each other and not pop each other's bubbles, because you're all angry at each other now because you keep killing each other. And then, like, everybody's angry. Nobody's having a good time except for that one guy who's in complete control because he won't pop your bubbles. So that's where, when I want to play a 2D Mario game and just have a good time with my, like, say, my fiance or my children, I don't want to play a game where I'm getting tilted playing.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think one of the best 2D Mario games recently was the 2D levels that they put into the
Mario Odyssey. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Those were fun.
I completely agree.
A game like that.
See,
and then that would be cool.
That is my exact same opinion when I played Mario Galaxy 2. Mario Galaxy 2 has some levels that are just 2D, and well, they're like 3D, but you're in a 2D area.
Yeah,
2D, and it is brilliant, and I love them. And I'm like, can this just be a Mario game? Can I just have this as a Mario game? And I've often said that I wanted a hand-drawn Mario. I want it like just a complete new physics system, because they've changed their physics system lots. Like, people think that Mario's always been the same. It's like, you look at Mario 1, Mario 2, and then Mario 3, and they're completely different games. And I know some people are like, actually, Mario 2 is Doki Doki Panic. But let's be honest, Nintendo considers Mario 2 more canon than the original Mario 2 for Japan. So we'll just put a pin in that and just continue accepting. Leave that there. But yeah, no, like they've changed.
There's nobody here that can argue with you, James.
I know.
Like,
I know.
All the people that are listening are at home.
You are stuck accepting what I have said. This is a fact. No, it's like Doki Doki Panic is like the reskin of Mario. Nobody goes to play Doki Doki Panic. Everybody goes to play Super Mario 2. But yes. It's just...
I've never played Doki Doki Panic. I should check and see if I have that on my...
Oh, yeah. Analog pocket.
Yes. Have you ever played it?
No. I imagine it's Super Mario 2. So yes.
Doesn't Doki Doki mean supposed to resemble like your heartbeat?
Maybe.
Doki Doki.
Maybe. I don't know. I always thought it was like thank you, or isn't it like thank you or hello? I don't know. I've heard people say something like that. Maybe they're saying something very similar, and I'm just an idiot. What else? What else do we have on the news? So, I've got there's two game showcases this week that came out for indie games, and I created a whole list of them all. I'm not gonna list all the names. There was Panic Games Showcase 2023. It happened yesterday, which was August 29th. And there was also the Mini Indie Showcase that happened today, August 30th. Both of them fantastic little showcases that showcased a lot of really cool indie games. I'm not going to jump into it. I will say that Thank Goodness You're Here looks absolutely amazing, which was... It was at Gamescom. So it's not the first time we've seen it, but the Panic Game Showcase showed a little bit more and showed us the development team working on it, and they're as weird as their trailer for it. Thank Goodness You're Here, if you haven't seen the trailer, is like this action comedy experience where you play as a salesman in a strange English town. And let me tell you, it reminds me of like an Adult Swim cartoon that you play. And it kind of looks like the Untitled Goose Game, where you're just going around causing mischief or something like that. But you play as like this little, I think you're playing as the little yellow man that's like knee high to everyone else. And there's so many inappropriate like innuendos and stuff like that. At one point, there's like an old granny sitting on a bench while a big old piece of sausage that is like clearly like draped over multiple things in the background falls on her lap and she gets all excited. There's like a flasher. There's just so many weird moments that I'm just like, there's a scene of like the guy outside seen through a window and it's all muffled and all you see is like a bedroom's dresser like bumping. And I'm like, what is going on in this game? And it's all to, like, this super cheerful tune, and it kind of, like, has, like, the animation style of, like, Adventure Time? And yeah. So super cutesy, and, so I'm really interested in this game, because I just want to know what the fuck is going on.
What the heck is going on there?
So I did want to bring up...
it's described as an absurd comedy slapformer.
Slapformer. Like a platformer, but slapstick.
That's my take.
Oh, man. Pretty cool. I would check out both of these showcases. They're, like, both 20 minutes, so it's not, like, a huge investment. Or you can just probably look online. I'm sure there is somewhere that's recapped it. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Where are we at for time? We're looking at... Oh, yeah, we got time. I'm going to throw in one more story here. And this one's
total... Don't forget, we got to do...
Oh, yeah, we got to do some trivia. Don't worry, this one's not going to take too long, except for it depends on how bad I can read, which is poorly.
Do you already have it pulled up?
I do. Okay. But you can take it away. What do you need to say?
Oh, I was going to ask what you thought of that PlayStation thing that's coming out, the handheld thing.
Oh, the PlayStation Q, which is now known as the PlayStation Portal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get it. I mean, I have a backbone, and I have a backbone, and I also now have a computer that does a perfectly good job at running remote play. But essentially, it's a remote play device for your household.
Oh, okay.
And that's all it is. It runs on Wi-Fi. There's implications that you can play it elsewhere, away from your system, but it's not going to be as intended. So it's probably going to be super fucking super choppy, super laggy and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it is just a nicer quality handheld remote play device, so you can play your PlayStation games while somebody else is using the TV. And it's super niche, and that's cool. Like, it, for the people that it's are going to be interested in it, they're already interested. Like, the sort of people that want it, they're already interested in it. They're on board. I'm like that, like, right on the cusp. Like, if it had one more feature in it, I might be interested. But because it doesn't have anything else, that I can already do exactly what that thing that device does, just on
with your
a lesser quality screen, a lesser quality controller, or sit on my computer and do the exact same thing. So
yeah, that's did they say a price at all?
I think it was about $200 and $250. I want to say it's $200, $250. I think it's closer to $200, but it's half the price of a PlayStation 5. Yeah, so it's super. It's the people buying it are people with money who have the disposable income that just want all the fancy devices, and that's it. So you got a little bit of PlayStation tax on it, and it's not doing anything you can't already do.
Just a little, yeah. Dude, the backbone's is the backbone even $100?
It's about $100, I think. I think for me, it's a little bit more because I'm a Canadian, and Canadians got to play a little bit more money because our dollar is not as made out of the right metal or something. I don't know how that
even works. When it was worth more money.
You know what's funny?
Like, you still had to pay more money.
Oh, 100%. I remember, so there was a period in time where the Canadian dollar was worth more than the US dollar. And we'd get, like, Americans coming to Canada complaining that, like, oh, my money's good here or whatever, and we're like, no, technically it's less.
It's actually not.
And we would have to ask them, like, we don't accept American because, like, literally we're getting scammed at this point. And they're getting really upset with us because we won't accept their American dollar, and they have to go to a bank or something that, like, Canadians have to do every time we go to America. But besides that, I remember trying to buy books. And books always have the American price and the Canadian price posted on the back. And they kept charging the Canadian price, despite the fact that the Canadian dollar is now worth more than the American. So we're getting ripped off just buying the stuff that we want to buy.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. It was nuts. So, we're constantly getting screwed over. And everything's so expensive right now. I'm not loving it. Our gas is going up to... I think it's this weekend. It's going to be about over $2 per liter, which, believe me, we were just in America. We went to Portland for a weekend, and we filled up. And we're like, oh, my God, this is like $20 cheaper to fill up in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we filled up in Portland, and it was so much cheaper. We're like, we got to fill up before we hit the border. So on the way back, we hit a gas station.
Take this gas with us.
Yes. It's our gas now, baby. All right, back to video games. This is a news article that I pulled that is just like solely for me because and nobody else. But Suda and Nagoshi, they've both said NetEase has given us freedom. This is a Video Games Chronicle article, and it was written by Andy Robinson and Chris Scullion. And since the 2021 acquisition, Suda51 says, thanks to the support and backup we have gotten from NetEase. Suda51 is a game developer, works at Grasshopper Studios or Interactive. Anyway, they made the No More Heroes games, which are quite popular now. He also made one of my favorite games, Killer 7, but nobody's going to know what I'm talking about if I said that. Not only do we have a bigger studio and more people, the environment itself has been much easier to work in, and it's become a lot easier to express my creativity and put more energy into being creative in general. Audio listeners, John's son has come into view and is hanging out with us.
Dad.
Yeah.
Suda51 goes on to say we do have a schedule and a budget and everything, but it's not like anyone's saying, okay, this game has to be out at this time. There's nobody at NetEase who thinks that if you get a game out as soon as possible, it's going to be good. And they understand that's not how it works, which they give top priority to creativity and quality. So it's great that we're able to have the freedom of time and schedule to really put the work into games that we need to put into them. And they're really understanding of that. They let us work on games that we want to work on, and we make the games we want to make. Which is phenomenal, because whenever you hear these companies that get bought out by a bigger conglomerate, especially NetEase, which is a Chinese mobile game company, that have just been acquiring all these studios, to hear that, like, it's been nothing but positivity. And Suda51 worked with EA, famously, on a game called Shadow of the Damned, and he hated that experience so much that I believe the enemy of his most recent No More Heroes game was a reference to his I think his name was like Fu, which is F-U, and then like there's something else that was reminiscent of EA in it, and like they're clearly, it was just a middle finger to EA for the torturous experience that he went through working on that game with them. But it's so cool to hear that these people that are like getting acquired are still have like given the freedom, and they're not just being like, you have to make these types of games now. This is what we want. This made us money before, or you money before, so we want you to do that again. And if anybody needs creative freedom, Suda51 is one of those people. He's got incredible games. I recommend people check out some of his previous works.
What was his biggest one?
I think his biggest one, I would have to say, is No More Heroes. But he did... I'm going to butcher the name. It's like Rain something. Suda 51. He also did something Michigan, where you played as Detroit, Michigan. You play as like a film crew. Lollipop Chainsaw, he did Silver Case.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Lollipop Chainsaw is getting a remake, I heard, which will be quite interesting. Is Grasshopper Manufacturer, which is the game company. Flower, Sun, and Rain, which was a PlayStation 2 game. Michigan Report from Hell, that's what it is. And you play as like a film crew during like a supernatural disaster, and you don't have any fighting capabilities, you're just filming, and you're filming like your team getting like murdered and stuff like that, and it's like you're trying to survive too, and it's really cool. Nagoshi, who worked on the Super Monkey Ball series and the Yakuza series, has also expressed he has left those like Sega and came to start his own studio. The general environment in this country means it's really hard to try new things in Japan, but NetEase is very ambitious and they want to expand its business by succeeding worldwide and including the console game category, which aligns with our ambition. It's like two-way traffic. We want to learn from each other about the same amount. From the NetEase side, they don't have much console game development experience compared to us, so they want to learn from us when it comes to making console games, which is such a cool dynamic with having like a big company that has got all the money, and they're not just grabbing you like a sponge and squeezing all your worth out of you.
Squeezing all the juice.
They're learning from them at the same time, and I think that's such a cool statement. So I wanted to include this just because we hear about acquisitions all the time. There's been a nightmare acquisition for the last 2 years, it feels like, with the Blizzard and Microsoft, which everybody's saying like bad acquisitions are bad. And I say some acquisitions are bad. Or, like, a lot of acquisitions when, like, that's what all it is just acquiring for the sake of acquiring, that's bad. But I do like to hear that some it has given freedom to some people, some of these developers, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, man, if companies will realize sooner or later that the people work harder when you're take good care of them. You know what I mean? Like, get more production, people will make you more money if you take good care of them. So
absolutely.
I don't know. It's in their best interest.
100%. And I've said this before. It's like people are like, oh, if they acquire all these people, it's going to like ruin the game industry. It's like, no, what happens is half these like bigwig developers, these people who've worked on all these series, they get sick of doing like some formulaic stuff and they branch out. They start their own game company. Yeah. And guess what? We get all these incredible indies. I mean, look at Kojima. He literally did that and he has one game. And he's still an amazing game company that is lauded and like, it's people are can't wait for the next Kojima game, right? And so, those that's just the way it is. So, anyway, I think, John, I think it's time for some trivia. Do you got some trivia for me?
I do. Question. In Blizzard's hack and slash Diablo, the first boss in the game is...
Leoric. I've only played Diablo 3, so I have no idea.
A demon, a giant skeleton, a butcher, or a mutant rat?
Honestly, I want to say a giant skeleton, but I'll say a mutant rat.
I'm going to go with demon. A butcher.
A butcher! So we're both wrong. Yeah. It just goes to show that I'm not a Diablo player.
Yeah. In Mortal Kombat, the final boss was the evil Shang Tsung.
Oh, I lost your audio.
You did?
Just for a half second while you were saying the thing.
Maybe it's just because my Chinese is so bad.
Oh, okay.
Shang Tsung. In Mortal Kombat, the final boss was the evil Shang Tsung, but can you name the four armed monster who needed beating before him?
Oh yeah,
Goro, right?
I literally said that earlier in the when we were talking about my audio problem. Goro.
Oh really?
Goro of my Anyway, yes, Goro.
Nice. Hey, we both got that one too.
We nailed it.
We're on nailed top. It. In the game Mortal Kombat again.
Yeah.
What phrase is heard when Scorpion uses his spear?
Get over here. Yeah.
And isn't that voiced by what's his face?
I don't know.
The creator of the game.
Oh, is it really?
Ed
Boon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
his voice.
That's so cool.
I'm pretty sure. So that just goes back to earlier in the episode when we were talking about when Martinet first recorded Mario. It totally could have been a Super Nintendo game because Mortal Kombat was a Super Nintendo game and they had voices in it. We have come full circle, James.
Full circle, baby.
How many bits was the Super Nintendo Entertainment System?
16?
8, right?
No, 8-bit was the NES.
Oh, Super Nintendo. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 16.
Look at that. I'm on it.
Occasionally these are good and sometimes they're not.
Sometimes they're not. All right. Well, thank you so much for those wonderful trivia questions. And sorry, friends at home, if they were too easy for you all, but we butchered that Diablo question.
Sometimes they put we did. Oh, good, nice.
So yeah, sometimes they're good.
It took me a minute on that one.
It's been a day,
man. It's been a day. This will be, but hey, man, now I actually know. Thanks to whoever gave us the feedback, dude, because like we don't know unless we get it, you know? So I really do appreciate that because it'll help me figure it out in the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is going to be a disaster. I probably won't post this VOD because it's kind of been a train wreck.
Yeah.
But it does help us for the future.
All right, so sorry, audio listeners that were looking forward to that VOD that I mentioned at the top of the show. Not happening.
Yeah.
Just not listen to the audio.
Maybe next time.
If you missed the video, you missed a treat. Well, everyone, that does it for the show today. Thank you so much for joining the podcast this week. You can find us on Twitter @MNGamers @MNGamers podcast. Don't type in mostly normal. It's not going to work. You can also find John at Johnny Samsonite, though he might be deleting his Twitter, so try and catch him before he leaves. And you can find Angie.
I'll never delete X.
At Stellar Smalls, so check her out. Chris is at VG Occasion, but he is currently not on Twitter, so try and find his Tumblr. I think he activated that
again. Yeah, dude, he did, because when I was editing last week's episode, he said something about Tumblr, and I haven't gotten used to the fact that Tumblr is no longer like a dirty place to be. You know what I mean?
Nudity
and stuff. So every time I hear him say Tumblr, I'm like, but they don't allow that stuff. I'm not anymore. I don't think.
No, I don't.
They cleaned it up.
They cleaned up their act.
It's around when I stopped using it, believe it or not.
Yeah. You're like, what's the point?
Exactly.
You can find me on all the socials at ButtLordPrimus, the ever mature handle. And once again, if you want to contribute to the show or to the content, you can. Send us emails to podcast at mostlynormalgamers.com. Or you can message us on Twitter, which we still have an active account on Twitter. I don't know who's handling it right now, but they've been tweeting up a storm. You can sign up for our newsletter, Mostly Normal Monthly, at mngamers.substack.com. Lastly, leave us a 5-star review. Just do it. You know what? What is it really gonna, like, you can lie. Nobody's gonna fact check you. Yeah. Apple's not out there or Spotify's not out there going like,
prove it.
What made it 5 stars? Really?
Tell me.
So just do it. Right? Well, and you know what else you can do? Just share us. If you see a post, share it. Like, repost it. You can't retweet because that's not a thing anymore. But just repost it. Because
thanks, Elon.
Just by sharing the podcast, we get more people listening, and that's always cool, because more people listening means more people chiming in, telling us what's what, telling us how wrong we are, and that
telling us all the things we're doing wrong on the stream,
so on the that stream,
I can fix them while we're streaming.
Yes. Anyway, that's it. I hope you had a great time. Bye-bye.
Bye.